I'd like to begin this morning by showing one of my favorite commercials I think that I've ever seen. It's starting.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits. The rebels. The troublemakers. The round pegs in the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Here's to the crazy ones. The people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. That's a commercial for a computer company. There are a lot of influential and important people in that commercial, and were you able to recognize all of them? From an advertising perspective, the cleverness of that commercial is that it connects the accomplishments of these important and influential people with the purchase of a machine. If I just buy that particular computer, I can be like Albert Einstein. But we know that that's not true. I've heard often enough, Paul, you're no Einstein. But I do love that commercial for what it suggests. That we don't have to be satisfied with the way things are. We are invited to think different. Now, a particular kind of technology may cause us to think differently on the surface, but really different thoughts, the ones that bring real change, come from somewhere deeper within. There are a few extra lines in the original text of the commercial of the individuals in that ad. It said they invent, they imagine, they heal, they explore, they create, they inspire. That doesn't come from a machine, even as one as good as a Mac. Real different thinking has its origins in unrestful spirits, in unsatisfied hearts, in gifts that cannot be contained, in souls who see a need and cannot help but strive to change things. From those who have such unrest comes movement forward. When divorced from marketing and consumerism, that's biblical thinking. The prophet Micah, whose verses we heard just a few moments ago, prophesied during the last quarter or so of the 8th century in the southern kingdom of Judah, as it lived under the threat of invasion from the empire of Assyria. And under King Hezekiah, who ruled during Micah's ministry, there was an economic revolution and wealth was invested in the land, and it led to the growth of vast estates and the collapse of small holdings. Wealthy landowners thrived at the expense of small peasant farmers, and the shift from a bartering to a monetary economy, a mercantile economy, increased the gap between the rich and the poor. Does that sound familiar to anyone? All were under the threat of domination from a foreign power. And with all of this upheaval and unrest and uncertainty, Micah proclaims, "Think different." Well, he prophesies the word of the Lord, "Think different." In our text, not only does God lament the departure of the people from faithfulness, but the people themselves wonder where God is in the midst of all this upheaval and uncertainty. How do we gain God's protection? How do we secure God's blessing? Is it in ritual? If I bring a sacrifice, maybe two sacrifices, maybe 1,000, what if I give my firstborn? Will that be enough? Sisters and brothers, says the prophet, it is no secret. This faithful living you wonder about, it is no different now than it was on Mount Sinai when you received the Torah. It is no different now than it was at the creation of the world when God spoke and a wonderfully diverse creation sprung to life and lived in harmony with itself and the Creator. It's always been the same. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. The world, with its uncertainty and threats, may push you to act out of fear and self-preservation. You may believe that a big enough estate, or a powerful enough army, or a sophisticated enough scientific knowledge or technology will save you. But the Bible says these things do not ensure life and safety, particularly when everybody is looking after themselves. But you, people of God, think different. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. These words are relationship words. They have to do with our connection to each other and with the one who created us. They have to do with those things that bind us together, the bonds between us. And they're also action words. Do justice. Love, not the Hallmark emotion, but love that tough, tough acting and way of living that binds people together. They have to do with how we live with each other. It doesn't necessarily come across in English, but these words are also abiding words. Love, kindness. Kindness is such a weak English translation. It's the Hebrew term chesed. It's that steadfast, lasting, abiding love that God holds for us no matter what. It speaks of faithfulness and loyalty and steadfastness, of sticking to love and hope and justice when everything around you is pushing you in the opposite direction. This is not religious ritual or orthodox theology. It is living faithfully and stubbornly as the Bible tells us to live, loving God with our very soul, our whole body, mind, heart, and spirit, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. In our own uncertain times, we may ask, what is a living faith? What is a faith that really matters? What is a faith that is relevant to my life? What is a faith that will guide me in times of upheaval and uncertainty? Where is a faith that will give me a vision of something greater than the trials of my own life and our world? Where is the faith that will give me the strength to be the joyful, gifted, loving person that God created me to be? This unrest we feel, and its answer, it's no secret. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. This works for individuals, and it works for communities like ours. This morning we handed out, if you don't have one, pick up one up on your way out. It's a 2-year plan for the vision for the next couple of years in our church's life. And leaders of our church faithfully sat in meetings over the summer to sit down and hammer this out, to pray and discern together what direction we want to take or God wants us to take in the next period of this church's life. This morning we're sharing this plan with you. It is a plan for ministry, faithful, relevant ministry that changes things. It is a plan, a vision of ministry for liberal and conservative, for young and old, for singles and families and couples, for rich and for poor, for everyone. This is a plan, a vision that can bring us together. It is a vision that is given to us in Micah. And it is powered by God's grace and God's Spirit. If you would like to discover that living kind of faith, one that nurtures a deep and living relationship with God, one that introduces you to a living Savior, one that nurtures your gifts and challenges you to grow, then you are invited to come on board with us in this vision. Come with us on our adventure of faith. We're not perfect. We're not even better or more holy. Nor will we escape the trials of life and world, but in faith we will engage them, seeking to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. Lest these words seem burdensome to you, and lest they seem like a Stephen Colbert wagging of the finger, that's not the way it is meant. There is something special that happens when you have a deeper purpose, when you are a part of a larger vision. It's not easy, but somehow you get an access to a greater energy. You see more, you feel more alive, you get more done. Meg is a brand new liturgist this morning. She's been doing a great job. And she will grow in her gifts of speaking before people. And she is a blessing to us this morning, and I hope she will be blessed in this activity. New choir director, new pianist, choir working together. As they work with each other and discover that living faith, their harmonies will only grow more and more beautiful as they nurture and discover their gifts together. It's not easy getting there, but once you get there, you are immeasurably glad you came. When I was in college, something interesting happened. Somewhere in the middle of my college career, I was writing my papers, you know, with the spiral-bound notebooks and the note cards that you taped in the right positions in your papers. Well, all during the summer, I think it was before my senior year, they put in a whole lab of Mac Plus computers. And they opened the library up for 24 hours. And I was living, 4 or 5 miles off campus, didn't have a car, and it was Portland. And in the winter, let me tell you, it's no fun riding a 10-speed with the ice and the rain. It's cold. So I decided I might as well live in the library. So I brought my hot pot. And I got to know the overnight people in the library, and I slept in the conference room that wasn't used at 2 in the morning. And I hid my little jar of peanut butter, and I worked all night long in the Mac Plus computer lab, and I took a shower in the gym, and that was my life for my senior year while I wrote my thesis. The funny thing about that Mac Plus computer, it was a miracle then, but it had a screen about this big, black and white. It had an 8 megahertz processor, an 800K floppy disk drive, and 1 megabyte of RAM. But I was transformed from note cards and notebooks to typing and composing on the computer. A few years later, when we got married, we got a Mac SE, and ooh, this was on fire. It had a 16 megahertz processor, a 1.4 megabyte floppy drive, and 32 megabytes of RAM. And later, I got a PowerBook G3, and I could take my computer anywhere. And last year, I got a MacBook, and it has a 2.4 gigahertz processor with 4 gigabytes of RAM, light and portable. And even now, we can play the video here, and I can print out something there. Miracle of wonder and design. We got Pam a brand new iMac, 24 inches of screen, realist. I'm a geek, I know, I love this stuff. But each edition is able to do just a little bit more, things that we never thought we could do. Each one a little better than the one before. So it is with our faith. As it gets stronger, as we work together, as we move forward in ministry, God plugs our RAM slots with greater RAM and increases our processor speed. And we're able to do so much more together. While the world tempts us to put all of this wonder, all of this growing ability to use for ourselves, we in our unrest see a need and we want to change things. We want to think different. So we dedicate all of our processing power to do justice, love kindness, and walking humbly with God. Discovering grace and life and joy, peace and hope along the way. Here's to the crazy ones.